tomorrow. I'm going to blow this thing if I can. Seeing Shabbat Shalom, I think we'll be doing Shabbat Shalom. 3, 2, 1.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai. Shalom Alechem. Hevenu Shalom, Shalom, Shalom Alechem. Hevenu Shalom Alechem. Hevenu Shalom Alechem. Hevenu Shalom Alechem. Hevenu Shalom, Shalom, Shalom Alechem.
Okay, welcome to everyone, and sorry about the live stream going down, but praise Yah, we're up and running again. So welcome to all those watching live stream, to Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, bless you, to Clayton in Texas, Sally Shaver, bless you, my darling, in Westin, in Trinidad, Tobago, also to Brenda and Kevin, Anthony and Tyden in Washington, to those watching through BGEMC in Adelaide in South Australia. Today we've got Annette, Betty, John, Marion and Sandy. Also to Katrina Louise in Port Pirie. And we pray that you're well on the road to recovery, Louise. Also a special welcome to Sue in Maxville in New South Wales. William in Bundaberg. To Janina, Glenn and Ella in Kalanga. We pray that you're getting better, Ella, and that you're not in any pain. And that you'll have full movement of your shoulder. Also to Judith, welcome to you in Ipswich, Wendy and Peter in Logan, Mary Ann, Faye, Carol, Rebecca and family here on the Gold Coast. We know that some families are away on holidays at the moment and they can't get through to us. Also the girls and Emma are away down in Sydney for school. So if you're watching online, bless you all. Watching on InSpeak is usually, but we don't know at this stage, do we, honey? Who's watching on InSpeak? Pardon? Well, usually we've got Rab Avner and Minister Leia and Izzy in Nova Scotia, Cherry in Ohio. Shamash John in Florida, Balbin Page is usually watching in Kentucky, Raki's watching in Wisconsin, and Minister Yan and Anne in Princess Edward Island. I think Christy was watching in Mexico last week, and that's all I know that I can remember. So welcome to each and every one of you, and we pray that you have an awesome Shabbat and a Rev Shabbat for those in the Northern Hemisphere. So if we could have the children out, please. We'll pray for the children. Hey, girls. Is Reuben there? He's there. Mm-hmm. Abba, Father, we thank you and praise you for our children, especially the three we've got here today and those watching online. We pray that you'll make Reuben and the boys watching online like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. Abba, we lift up Sarah, we lift up the girls to you, and we pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives, that they will delight in your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that all of these children become like trees planted by the streams, that they'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah Shalakim. Blessed are you, Yar of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, Mr. Mark is away doing exams again today, so Minister Avraham will have you today, children. So I'm sure you'll have a great time. Now, today normally we would have Torah pearls, but we're not doing it. There's a reason for no Torah pearls today. Instead, I've got a shortened message so that we don't go too long, because we will go hopefully in convoy to the proposed new venue so that you all get to see it, see how far it is, see what it's like, see what the parking's like, and just let you know whatever you can. So if anyone needs transport to be able to get back here afterwards, just let us know. Malachi and I have got room for three in the back of our car. So we're happy to take you. So we're going to check out the facility for yourself. And then it'll make you familiar with the road, so that when you go, when we do shift, and I'm not too sure when, but I'll let you know as soon as I know. I've been speaking to the pastor there, and he only has a window between 1 and 2 for us to get there today. So we'll have to leave here by about 20 to 1, be all in our cars ready to drive off, and then we'll go there, and those that need to come back here with to pick up their car, we can drop you back off here. But will give us a chance to be able to have a look at it, everyone to check out where it is and what we're doing. We'll probably find that once we go there, it's an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to be able to do things that we haven't done before. And by looking at the venue, it'll give you an idea of what we can do. Because we want all of you to put some input in. You're all part of this ministry. It's not just the ministry team. You're all ministers in our congregation. So it's up to you. Yes, Paul, you're important too, my boy. So what you think is really important as well. So that's the plan. We leave here at 20 to 1, and we'll be there between 1 and 2. And then we can head off home or whatever. But it'll give you an idea of where we have our service, where we have our schmooze time. We're looking at even changing our remembrance service and all that sort of thing to gear up with that. So I hope that you'll make the effort to come. We've got on the back wall, we've got, I think, about 10 maps to show you how to get there from here. I can't give you a date when we're moving as yet, because we won't go until they've got the internet sufficient enough to for us to go live stream.
The map of the Ravina to the service for the future use, if I can put that up on screen right now.
Okay. Malachi has made up a map for those people travelling from Brisbane or whatever by train, or even from the south by train, how you can do a route of being able to get to the venue. Now, what you need to do is you need to get off at Ravina Station and you go to the A bus terminal. Apparently there's A and B terminals. And every hour, buses leave from the Narang Station. Ravina Station, should I say. So you get on the train, go to Ravina, then you can get on the bus, which takes 20 minutes to get to Kookaburra Drive. I think it's about 150 kilometre walk from there to the venue. A 150 metre walk, not kilometre. Sorry about that. 150 metre walk. That says 196 metre walk, so it's nearly 200. It's like the bottom from the top of my house to the bottom of my corner. And that's the walk. Okay, that's the walk. And then when you leave, so the idea is to get a train that will give you a
from
there's a printed
up.
Copy there.
It's the same sort of thing. So it's just a really good search facility available with TransLink, and it gives you the pricing and all that, so makes it easy. But what a blessing. Fancy having one that says you'll get to the venue 4 minutes before 10 o'clock. Now, that bus service is a one-hour service.
That's
so
what I
helpers,
said.
If they have to travel by public transport, they can take the one-hour earlier bus, which would work perfectly.
Live stream, that we can live stream around the world. So when we know when that is, we'll let you know. So at this stage, we don't know. Don't forget there's prayer and contact cards on the back table if you need them. And that's all. Does anyone have any questions in relation to that? Nope. Okay. Good. My computer's going haywire here. What's been happening? We've got a new newsletter. Right, there's discrimination of Messianic believers who struggle for citizenship in Israel. There's quite a big article in there. We thought it was important that you had a copy of that and realised why so many believers, if you go to Israel, you just can't, and why I tell people. Well, Fatah does what's been happening in London and everything, and they've been doing it for years. They use knives, they slit, they stab, and they use cars to run through people, and they've been doing it for years. So now the rest of the ISIS world is copying what Fatah did, and yet Fatah are classed as moderate. Okay? This is the one they want to do the peace deal with Israel, with the moderate. Hamas, once again, is classed as a terrorist. And the Hamas of Gaza has amassed 27,000 men in preparation for the next war with Israel, including an elite unit dedicated to attacking civilians by land, sea and air, according to Avi Izhukov in the Times of Israel. Hamas is built like an army in every way. The fighters are broken up into 6 regional brigades, 25 battalions, 109 companies. The elite Nuba unit consists of 2,500 men, a third of whom have been trained to infiltrate Israel by sea, by air, by drones and by motorized gliders, or by land via terror tunnels. The cross-border tunnels, which were designed to allow terrorists to kidnap and kill soldiers and citizens, are the primary focus of the military build-up. According to... this thing's not going up. According to Ishikov, Hamas has created a virtual city underground, where it safeguards its rocket operation as well as command and control structure. A senior IDF official told the Israel's Channel 2 that Hamas has rebuilt its tunnel infrastructure and rocket arsenal to the levels it maintained before the 2014 war against Israel. Hamas spends some $40 million of its $100 million military budget in tunnel construction, and this is what is being used instead of building homes for the people within the Gaza Strip. Hamas is investing a lot of money in the necessary preparation so that the next round, when they decide to start it, they will be able to inflict the heaviest damage to Israel. So they're all ready. As you know, we've been praying for the Sea of Galilee during the rainy season, and May saw the lowest recorded level of the Kinneret in since recording started in May 1920. During the month of May this year, the lake lost 15 centimetres or 5.9 inches of its water level. Water Authority have said that the summer has not fully begun, but the decline of the water level started earlier this year at a rate approximately half a centimetre a day. At the height of summer, which hasn't even reached there yet, the Sea of Galilee evaporates at a rate of about 1 centimetre a day. And so according to the hydrologists at the Water Authority, the Sea of Galilee water level is expected to go down by another 3 feet by the beginning of the next rainy season, and is expected to start, which isn't expected to start till next November. So it will be over 7 foot below sea level. So all we can do is praise Yah for the desalinization plants that they have in Israel, because they, without that, they'd all be going back off to Egypt like Yaakov did with all his family because of the droughts. It is really in a sad state over there as far as water is concerned at the moment. So let us pray for Israel. And as you know, Israel is the people, not the state, that we pray for. Abba, Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or in Eretz Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people through so many tribulations, whether it was from captivity in Egypt or Babylon, through the attempted annihilations of the Romans and the Holocaust, as well as the endless wars since your people have returned to your promised land. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. We thank you and praise you that we have not have heard of any violence that's been perpetrated on cities or villages this week. And we thank you, Abba, that you remember your covenant with your chosen people. Abba, we know from your word in your Keskael that says that your people will live in the land you gave your servant Yaakov, that they will live in complete security and safety, and we claim that for them today. Abba, we lift up every person that is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder that's been happened from the rockets and the infiltration of Hamas and Fatah over the years. And we pray for your healing power to touch every person, adult and child, who's suffering from this disorder in any way. Abba, we pray that you'll ask for your protection of all the people living near the borders of Gaza, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and especially those within the Golan Heights, Yehuda and Shomron. We know from your word that says that you will execute judgment against their contemptuous neighbours, and we pray for that to happen. We also pray for the salvation of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, no matter where they are living in this world. Your word tells us that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yechezkel that says you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we ask that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says that your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be their Elohim and they will be your people, and we claim that for them today. We also ask, Abba Father, that you'll abide by your promises to summon the grain in its season and increase it. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing with every Islamic terrorist attack that happens in the diaspora as well as in the land. And we pray for your protection for all of your people, no matter where they might live on this earth. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your land. We ask that you break the power of Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda and Islamic State operatives that are trying to wipe Israel off the map at this very moment. We lift up to you every member of the IDF, the reservists and their families. We ask for your protection of all Israeli soldiers and workers, no matter where they are on your land, from the Golan Heights to the Sinai Peninsula. We lift up the members of the Knesset to you. We pray and thank you for the leadership of Bibi Netanyahu and pray that you'll strengthen him in the leadership of his people. We pull down the strongholds of the Arab members who prefer to work with Hamas or Fatah with an agenda that is outside of your plan, and we pray that none of their plans come to fruition. We thank you and praise you for Yaakov Damkani and Eli Shaver and their ministry of Trumpets of Salvation. We pray that you'll continue to protect them and their Talmudim as they send them out two by two to spread the message of hope to your people, especially the young servicemen and women. And we claim many souls to come into your kingdom as Torah observant believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. Abba, we lift up the staff of Makor HaTikvah Messianic Day School and the children within that school. We thank you for the faith of each and every staff member and student. And we pray, Abba Father, that you'll continue to bless them as they work towards being granted a license, as well as the bonus of receiving government funding. We ask this all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. Okay, the Torah service of the word today will be read from Parasha 36, Baholotka, which means when you get up. The Torah will be read from Bamidbar, or Numbers, chapter 8, verse 1, to chapter 12, verse 16. The Haftarah, the prophets, will be read from Zechariah, or Zechariah 2:14 to 4:7. The Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, will be read from Yochanan, John 19:31 to 37, and Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 3, 1 to 6. So let us pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aher b'kabanu mikhal ha'amin v'natanunu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ola olam, amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Yehovah said to Moshe, "Tell Aaron, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah." Aaron did this. He lit its lamps so as it gave light in front of the menorah. As Jehovah has ordered Moshe, here is how the menorah was made. It was hammered gold from its base to its flowers, hammered work, following the pattern Jehovah had shown Moshe. This is how he made the menorah. Yehovah said to Moshe, "Take the Levim from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Here is how you are to cleanse them. Sprinkle the purification water on them. Have them shave their whole body with razor and have them wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. Then they are to take a young bull with its grain offering, which is to be fine flour mixed with olive oil. While you take another bull for a sin offering, you are to present the Levim in front of the tent of meeting and assemble the entire community of people of Israel. You will present the Levim before Jehovah. The people of Israel will lay their hands on the Levim. And Aaron will offer the Levim before Yehovah as a wave offering from the people of Israel, so that they may do Yehovah's service. The Levim will lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, the one you will offer as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering of Yehovah, to make an atonement for Levim. You are to place the Levim before Aaron and his sons and offer them as a wave offering to Jehovah. In this way you will separate the Levim from the people of Israel. The Levim will belong to me."
after that, the Levi'im will enter and do the service of the tent of meeting. You will cleanse them and offer them as a wave offering, because they are entirely given to me from among the people of Israel. I have taken them for myself in place of all those who come first out of the womb, that is, the firstborn males of the people of Israel. For all that firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both humans and animals. On the day I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I set them apart for myself. But I have taken the Levi'im in place of all the firstborn among the people of Israel. And I have given the Levi'im to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service of the people of Israel in the tent of meeting, to make atonement for the people of Israel, so that no plague will fall on the people of Israel in consequence of their coming too close to the sanctuary. This is what Moshe, Aaron, and all the community of the people of Israel did to the Levi'im. The people of Israel acted in accordance with everything that Jehovah had ordered Moshe in regard to the Levi'im. The Levi'im purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron offered them as a holy gift before Jehovah and made atonement for them in order to cleanse them. After that, the Levi'im came to do their service in the tent of meeting in front of Aaron and his sons. They acted in accordance with Jehovah's order to Moshe in regard to the Levi'im. Jehovah said to Moshe, "Here are the instructions concerning the Levi'im. When they reach the age of 25, they are to begin performing their duties, serving in the tent of meeting. And when they reach the age of 50, they are to stop performing this work and not serve any longer. They will assist their brothers who are performing their duties in the tent of meeting, but they will not do any of their work. This is what you are to do with the Levi'im in regard to their duties."
Jehovah spoke to Moshe in the Sinai desert in the first month of the second year after they had left the land of Egypt. He said, "Let the people of Israel observe Pesach at its designated time. On the 14th day of this month at dusk, you are to observe it at its designated time. You are to observe it according to all its regulations and rules." Moshe told the people of Israel to observe Pesach. So they observed Pesach at dusk on the 14th day of the month in the Sinai desert. The people of Israel acted in accordance with all that Jehovah had ordered Moshe. But there were certain people who had become unclean because of someone's corpse, so that they could not observe Pesach on that day. So they came before Moshe and Aharon that day and said to him, "We are unclean because of someone's corpse, but why must we be kept from bringing the offering for Jehovah at the time designated for the people of Israel?" Moshe answered them, "Wait, so that I can hear what Jehovah will order concerning you." Jehovah said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel, if any of you now or in the future generations is unclean because of a corpse, or if he is on a trip abroad, nevertheless he is to observe Pesach. But he will observe it in the second month on the 14th day at dusk. They are to eat it with matzah and marah. They are to leave none of it until morning, and they are not to break any of its bones. They are to observe it according to all the regulations of Pesach. But the person who is clean and not on a trip who fails to observe Pesach will be cut off from his people because he did not bring the offering for Jehovah at his designated time. That person will bear the consequences of his sin. If a foreigner is staying with you and wants to observe Pesach for Jehovah, he is to do it according to the regulations and rules of Pesach. You are to have the same law for the foreigner as for the citizen of the land. On the day of the tabernacle was put up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, that is, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening over the tabernacle was what appeared to be fire, which remained until morning. So the cloud always covered it, and it looked like fire at night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, the people of Israel continued their travels. And they camped wherever the cloud stopped, at the order of Jehovah. The people of Israel traveled. At the order of Jehovah, they camped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they stayed in camp. Even when the cloud remained on the tabernacle for a long time, the people of Israel did what Jehovah had charged them to do and did not travel. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, according to Jehovah's order. They remained in camp, and according to Jehovah's order, they traveled. Sometimes the cloud was there only from evening until morning, so that when the cloud was taken up in the morning, they traveled. Or even if it continued up both day and night, when the cloud was up, they traveled. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, staying on it, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not travel. But as soon as it was taken up, they traveled. At Jehovah's order, they camped, and at Jehovah's order, they traveled. They did what Jehovah had charged them to do through Moshe. Jehovah said to Moshe, make 2 trumpets, make them of hammered silver. Use them for summoning the community and for sounding the call to break camp and move on. When they are sounded, the entire community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, then just the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you. When you sound an alarm, the camps to the east will commence traveling. When you sound a second alarm, the camps to the south will set out. They will sound alarms to announce when to travel. However, when the community is to be assembled, you are to sound, but don't sound an alarm. It will be the sons of Aharon, the Kohanim, who are to sound the trumpets. This will be a permanent regulation for you through all your generations. When you go to war in your land against an adversary who is oppressing you, you are to sound an alarm with the trumpets. Then you will be remembered before Jehovah, your Elohim, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, on your days of rejoicing at your designated times and on your Rosh Chodesh, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. These will be your reminder before your Elohim. I am Jehovah, your Elohim.
On the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the people of Israel moved out in stages from the Sinai Desert. The cloud stopped in the Paran Desert. So they set out on the first on their first journey. In keeping with Jehovah's order through Moshe, in the lead was the banner of the camp of the descendants of Yehuda, whose companies moved forward. Over his company was Nachshon, the son of Amminadav. Over the company of the tribe of the descendants of Issachar was Netanel, the son of Zuar. Over the company of the descendant of Zulun was Elav, the son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the descendants of Gershon and the descendant of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. Next, the banner of the camp of Reuven moved forward by companies. Over his company was Eleazar, the son of Shedeur. Over the company of the tribe of the descendants of Shimon was Shlumael, the son of Zurishaddai. Over the company of the descendants of Gad was Elisaf, the son of Deuel. Then the descendants of Gad set out carrying the sanctuary so that the tabernacle could set up before they arrived. The banner of the camp of the descendants of Ephraim moved forward by companies. Over his company was Elishama, the son of Ammihud. Over the company of the tribe of the descendants, the Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. Over the company of the descendants of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. The banner of the camp of the descendants of Dan, forming the rear guard for all the camps, moved forward by companies. Over his company was Achiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Over the company of the tribe of the descendants of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. Over the company of the descendants of Naphtali was Kira, the son of Enan. This is how the people of Israel traveled by companies, thus they moved forward. Moshe said to Hovav, the son of Ruel, the Midianite, Moshe's father-in-law, "We are traveling to the place about which Jehovah said, 'I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, because Jehovah has promised good things to Israel.' But he replied, 'I will not go. I would rather go back to my own country and make my own kinsmen.'" Moshe continues, "Please don't leave us, because you know that we have camped in the desert, and you can serve as our eyes. If you do go with us, then whatever good Jehovah does for us, we will do the same for you." So they set out from Jehovah's mountains and traveled for 3 days. Ahead of them on this 3 days' journey went the Ark of Jehovah's Covenant, searching for a new place to stop. The cloud of Jehovah was over them during the day as they set out from the camp.
When the ark moved forward, Moses said, "Arise, Jehovah, may your enemy be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you." When it stopped, he said, "Return, Jehovah of the many, many thousands of Israel." But the people began complaining about their hardships to Jehovah. When Jehovah heard it, his anger flared up, so that fire from Jehovah broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to Jehovah, and a fire abated. That place was called Tavriah, because Jehovah's fire broke out against them. Next, the mixed crowd that was with them grew greedy for an easy life, while the people of Israel, for their part, also renewed their weeping and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. It cost us nothing, and the cucumber, the melon, the leeks, the onion, and the garlic. But now we are withering away. We have nothing to look at but these manners." The manna, by the way, was like coriander seed and white like calves raising. The people would go around gathering it and were grinding it up in meal or pounding it to paste with mortar and pestle. Then they would cook it in a pot and make it into loaves that taste like cakes baked with olive oils. When the dew settled on the camp during the night, the manna came with it. Moshe heard the people crying, family after family, each person at the entrance to his tent. The anger of Jehovah flared up violently, and Moshe too was displeased. Moshe asked Jehovah, "Why are you treating your servant so badly? Why haven't I found favor in your sight so that you put the burden of this entire people on me? Did I conceive these people? Was I their father, so that you would tell me? Carry them in your arms, like a nurse carrying a baby, to the land you swore to their ancestors. Where am I going to get meat to give to this entire people? Because they keep bothering me with their crying and saying, 'Give us meat to eat.' I can't carry this entire people by myself alone. It's too much for me. If you are going to treat me this way, then just kill me. Just kill me outright. Please, if you have any mercy towards me, and don't let me go on being this miserable." Jehovah said to Moshe, "Bring me 70 of the leaders of Israel, people you recognize as leaders of the people and officers of theirs. Bring them to the tents of meeting and have them stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the spirit which rest on you, and put them on them. Then they will carry the burden of the people along with you, so that you won't carry it yourself. Then the people consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you will eat meat, because you cried in the ears of Jehovah. If only we had meat to eat, we had a good life in Egypt. All right, Jehovah is going to give you meat, and you will eat it. You won't eat it just one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nose and you hate it. Because you have rejected Jehovah, who is here with you, and distrusted him with your crying and asking, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am with 600,000 men on foot, and yet you say, I will give them meat to eat for the whole month. If whole flocks and herds were slaughtered for them, would it be enough? If all the fish in the sea were collected for them, will even that be enough? Jehovah answered Moses, has Jehovah's arm grown short? Now you will see whether what I said will happen or not. Moses went out and told the people what Jehovah had said. Then he collected 70 of the leaders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Jehovah came down in a cloud, spoke to him, took some of the spirit that was on him and put him on to the 70 leaders. When the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Then, but not afterward. There were two men who stayed in the camp. One name was Eldad and the other was Medad, and a ruach came to rest on them. They were among those least to go out to the tent, but they hadn't done so, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moshe, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, who's from his youth up, has been Moses' assistant, answered. My lord, Moses stopped them. But Moses replied, I wish all Jehovah's people them, all of them.
Moshe and the leaders of Israel went back into the camp, and Jehovah sent out a wind which brought quails from across the sea and let them fall near the camp, about a day's trip away on each side of the camp and all around it, covering the ground to the depth of 3 feet. The people stayed up all that day, at night and all the day, the next day, gathering quails. The person gathering the least collected 10 heaps. Camp. About a day's trip away on each side of the camp and all around it, covering the ground to the depth of
they buried the people who were so greedy. From Kivrot Hatava, the people traveled to Hatzerot, and they stayed at Hatzerot. Miriam and Aaron began criticizing Moshe on account of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had in fact married an Ethiopian woman. They said, it is true that Jehovah has spoken with only with Moshe. Hasn't he spoken with us too? Jehovah heard them. Now, this man Moshe was very humble, more so than anyone on earth. Suddenly Jehovah told Moshe, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. The three of them went out. Jehovah came down in a column of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent. He summoned Aaron and Miriam as they both went forward. He said, "Listen to what I say. When there is a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. But it isn't that way with my servant Moshe. He is the only one who is faithful in my entire household. With him I speak face to face and clearly, not in riddles. He sees the image of Jehovah. So why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moshe?" The anger of Jehovah flared up against them and he left. But when the cloud was removed from above the tent, Miriam had Tazarat as white as snow. Aharon looked at Miriam, and she was as white as snow. Aharon said to Moshe, "O my Lord, please don't punish us for the sin we committed so foolishly. Please do not let her be like a stillborn baby, with its body half eaten away when it comes out of its mother's womb." Moshe cried to Jehovah, "O Elohim, I beg you, please heal her."
Jehovah answered Moshe, "If her father had merely spit in her face, wouldn't she hide herself in shame for 7 days? So let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back in." Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not travel until she was brought back in. Afterwards, the people went on from Hazeroth and camped at the Paaran Desert. Haftorah. Zechariah 2:14-2:7. "Sing, daughter of Zion, rejoice, for here I am coming, and I will live among you, says Jehovah. When the time comes, many nations will join themselves to Jehovah. They will be my people."
A break in the live stream occurred at this point.
"And while the angel of Jehovah stood by, the angel of Jehovah gave Yehoshua this warning. Jehovah Zevot says this: if you will walk in my ways and obey my commission, judge my house and guard my courtyards, then I will give you free access amongst those who are standing here. Listen, Cohen Gadol, Yehoshua, both you and your colleagues seated here before you, because these men are a sign that I am going to bring my servant Zemach. For look at the stone I have put in front of Yehoshua. On one stone are 7 eyes, and I will engrave what is to be written on it, says Jehovah Zevot. And I will remove the guilt of this land in one day. When that time comes, says Jehovah Zevot, you will all invite each other to join you under your vines and figs. When the angel had been speaking with me, returned and roused me as if he were waking someone up from a sleep and asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I have been looking at a menorah, and it's all of gold, a bowl at its top and 7 lamps on it, and 7 tubes leading to the lamps at its top. Next to it are 2 olive trees, one at the right side of the bowl and the other on its left.' I then asked the angel speaking with me, 'What are these, my lord?' The angel speaking with me said, 'Don't you know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my lord.' Then he answered me, 'This is the word of Jehovah to Zerubbabel. Not by force and not by power, but by my spirit, says Jehovah Zevot. What are you, you big mountain before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. He will put the capstone in this place as everyone shouts, it is beautiful, beautiful.'"
Yochanan 19:31-37. It was preparation day, and the Judeans did not want the bodies to remain on the stake on Shabbat, since it was an especially important Shabbat. So they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who had been put on the stake beside Yeshua, then the legs of the other one. But when they got to Yeshua and saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. However, one of the soldiers stabbed his side with a spear, and at once blood and water flowed out. The man who saw it has testified about it, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, so you too can trust. For these things happened in order to fill the scripture of the Tanakh, not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, then they will look at him whom they have pierced.
Hebrews 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, brothers, whom Elohim has set apart, who share in the call from heaven, think carefully about Yeshua, whom we acknowledge publicly as Elohim's emissary and as Kohen Gadol. He was faithful to Elohim, who appointed him, just as Moshe was faithful in all Elohim's house. But Yeshua deserves more honor than Moshe, just as the builder of the house deserves more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is Elohim. Also, Moshe was faithful in all Elohim's house, as a servant giving witness to things Elohim would divulge later. But the Messiah, as son, was faithful over Elohim's house, and we, as the house of his, provide we hold firmly to the courage and confidence inspired by what we hope for.
Baruch Ta Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Natan Nanu Torah Amet V'Chayalom Petikenu. Baruch Ta Yehovah Natan HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu, Ha'ola Olam, Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, give the Torah in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Well, just for murmuring, Miriam was given Zara'at. Why wasn't Aharon? We never found that out, did we? Because they were both called for murmuring, and yet only Miriam was given the Zara'at. There must have been a reason. I don't know how I'm ever to find it. I'll just have to ask Moshe when I get up there. Okay. Today I've only got a short message for you, and that's because we have to leave here in just over an hour, so we'll have the message and the service before then. So let's move on. I'm reading from Bamidbar today, but before I start, have you ever been around someone that had a question for you that you never but would never stop talking long enough for you to give them an answer? Come on. They ask you a question, but they keep on and on and on, and you just, when can I answer this question? By the time that they're through talking, they've thanked you for listening, and they leave without ever actually hearing what your answer was. It's the same way when people are praying. When praying, many people do all the talking and commanding and demanding of Yehovah what they want and how they want it. And they never stop long enough to listen to what Yehovah has to say. And it's really important that we keep a balance, that we wait and we listen. And I know I've spoken about listening to Yah before. It's really important to wait on him and hear what he says, because what we want isn't always what we need. what we want isn't what he thinks is good for us. And so we have to listen to Yehovah. So there's a time when we need to be quiet and just listen and wait on the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, to hear what the Holy Spirit says. So let us go to Bamidbar Numbers chapter 9, verse 8, please. Moshe answered them, "Wait, so that I can hear what Yehovah will order concerning you." So then Moshe goes to Yehovah. "Tell the people of Israel," Yehovah says to Moshe, if any of you now or in the future generations is unclean because of a corpse or is on a trip abroad, nevertheless, he is to observe Passover or Pesach." So they had to go to Yehovah with that. Until to this very day, people can have Passover on the first month or the second month of the year. Then in Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Those who have ears," who doesn't have ears here? Good. "Let them hear what the Ruach HaKodesh is saying to the Messianic community. Who wins the victory will not be hurt at all by the second death. And to the angel of the Messianic community in Pergamum, he wrote, 'Here is the message from the one who has the sharp double-edged sword.'" And further down in verse 17 of Revelation 2, it says, "Those who have ears, let them hear what the Ruach," what the Spirit, "is saying to the Messianic communities. To him winning the victory, I will give some of the hidden man. I will also give him a white stone on which it is written a new name that nobody knows except the one receiving it." We will all receive that new name. As you know, I believe I know mine. Many of you know what you believe that yours will be. Because it always speaks, that name that you will receive, because it's from Yah, it speaks into who you are. It speaks into your destiny. It speaks into what Yah has planned for you in life. That's what your name is. Tamar is victorious spirit. It's a great big tree, a palm tree, that bends in the wind, that can take drought, can take flood, can take fire, has the beautifulest, most plumpest fruit on it. That's why I'm not skinny. It has plump fruit that's so sweet. And when I was in Israel, Yehovah said to me, "Now can you see why I call you Tamar? Your spirit isn't the size you are, but that's how I see you, as that tall tree. That's your name. That's the name that you are given on that white stone. Let Yah speak to you. Listen to his voice. See what he wants to say to you, what your name should be. Because it speaks about who you are and your destiny in him, what he wants, how he sees you to be. Not how you see yourself to be. Never as you see yourself. It's always how he sees you." So sometimes we can spend too much time praying for a certain problem. We have to take time to listen to Yehovah or his Ruach HaKodesh. We must be careful. We just can't demand what we want, because Yehovah has other things in mind for us. We must listen to what the Ruach says to the Messianic community. I know that we are creatures of habit, and we like to think that Yah needs our advice from time to time, how to handle the world, but he doesn't really. As a matter of fact, he probably laughs every time we try to give him our opinion. If we aren't led by the Ruach of Elohim, that we cannot be his sons and daughters. It is said in Romans 8 and verse 14, "All who are led by Elohim's Ruach are Elohim's sons." Now, you know that scripture always speaks of sons, as actually when you read it in Hebrew, it actually says it's not gender specific, because it says B'nai Elohim, which are children of Elohim or children of Yah. So where the English version always comes up with sons, it means children. And we are all children of Yehovah, not just sons. To be led by anyone, you have to listen to them. Then do what they say. Otherwise, they cannot lead you. Can you hear me now? Can you all hear me? Oh, good. Is that what Yah is constantly saying to us? Is he saying, are you listening? Can you hear me? Is there anyone here who knows Yehovah's voice? Some of us do. It's not just hearing, but it's also knowing. It's not just hearing that voice. It's knowing like you know, like you know, like you know, that that was Yah speaking. And it's what you have to do. It's the Ruach HaKodesh touching you in some way to tell you what to do. The scripture says, those who have ears, let them hear what the Ruach is saying. And then you follow it. So it's always the Ruach that speaks. In Yochanan John, or chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Yochanan says, my sheep listen to my voice. So Yeshua says, my sheep listen to my voice. I recognize them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will absolutely never be destroyed, and no one will snatch them from my hands. If we hear Yah's voice, if we listen to the Ruach, we cannot fall astray. We cannot be led by the adversary into sin. We can lose direction if we fail to hear his voice. Let me say this. The reason many people struggle in their walk with Yah is that they are trying to figure it all out, that they are getting others to pray for their situations and expecting them to figure it out for them. We can't go to people. We can't go to people and say, you've got to pray for me. I need you to pray for this. I need you to pray for that. I need you to pray for something else. We have to do it ourselves. We can't depend on other people to do our praying for us, because it's not people that answer you. You have to wait and listen to the small, still voice of Yah and hear what he has to say to you in regard to your situation. He knows your situation. He knows everyone's situation. Poor Usha doesn't even have a roof over her head at the moment. And she's still waiting, waiting patiently for something to come for her and her family. We need to pray for Usha, that Yah will provide a home for her and her children. But how many people did Usha ring up to ask them to do that? Nobody? No. See, she's trusting Yah herself. That doesn't mean we can't pray for her. But she is trusting Yah. We can lose direction if we fail to hear Yehovah's voice. And this is much harder to do as an adult than it is as a child. And that's why Yeshua himself said that we have to become like little children when it comes to trust and faith. You've all heard my parable of the broken toy, haven't you? Is there anyone who hasn't? Oh, okay, some haven't. Okay, well, in that case, Maureen, would you come out here, please, and bring that bottle with you? Yep. Just bring my water bottle with you. Okay. No, hold on to it. Come stand over here. This is your broken toy, all right? Now, if a child has a broken toy, what does it do? It gives it to its father. Can I have the toy, please? And says, will you fix it? And it waits patiently until the toy is fixed and the father says, there you go, your toy's fixed. Well done, the child waited. But then, as an adult, we've got problems in life and we pray to the Father and we say, Father, will you fix this situation for me? Father, will you fix this situation for me? Father, will you please fix it for me? I've been praying and praying for ages. We don't let him fix it. We keep taking it back. That's why Yehovah, thanks Maureen, that's why Yah wants us to be like little children. He wants us to let go of our problems. When we give something to him, leave it with him. Don't keep taking it back. Let him fix it. This is what Usha's doing at the moment. She knows that there's something in place for her. She knows that something's going to happen. She's given it to Yah. Yah will provide the way. And she's letting go and letting Yah fix it. This is what we all have to do. An absolutely an amazing example of a believing woman who doesn't have a husband to help her, but relies on Yah as her husband. That is awesome faith. In Matityahu chapter 4 and verse 4, and Yeshua answered and he said, the Tanakh says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Yehovah. Where do we find every word that comes from the mouth of Yehovah? In the Tanakh. In the Kedavah HaShalakim. We need to go to his word because that's what it says. The only thing that Avraham knew was that he had heard. He heard Elohim tell him to make a sacrifice of his only son Yitzhak. Yitzhak gathered the wood and the fire and he wondered where the sacrifice was going to come from. But Avraham knew that Yah would provide, as he had given him many promises about this son that he had. Avraham knew Yehovah's voice and he did whatever Yah asked of him. Even when our prayers are still unanswered, we need to praise Yah for what we haven't yet seen. Can we go to Bereshit or Genesis 22 verse 8? This is Avraham not seeing but still having faith. Avraham replied to his son Yitzhak, Elohim will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And they both went on together. They came to the place Elohim had told him about, and Avraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzhak his son and laid him in the altar on the wood. Then Avraham put out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. The angel of Yehovah called to him out. I'm sorry, my glasses don't. These are computer glasses, not reading glasses. So it's really difficult even trying to read this. So the angel of Yehovah called to him out of heaven. Avraham, Avraham, he answered. Here I am. He said, don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you are a man who fears Elohim because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Avraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its horns. Avraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Now, I have never known rams to be mountain climbers. Yes, I've heard of mountain goats, but I've never heard of a mountain ram. But a ram was there on the day. Yehovah provided. Just like Yehovah is going to provide a house for Usha. a car for you. Got your car yet? Still waiting? Okay, it's coming. Yah knows your needs. He's going to provide it. He will bring it in his perfect timing. Yah will make a way where there seems to be no way. If you want to hear from Elohim, well, listen to this. Turn the world off. Get off social media. Turn off everything that is not of Yah, because he will not speak to your situation if your ears are listening to the world and not to his Ruach. It doesn't matter what man might advise you, or what you read or self-diagnose from the internet. It can bring in more doubt and lack of trust than if you just waited on Yehovah. There is a balance somewhere, but it's not with the weight of the world pressing so hard on you that you can't get a breakthrough. It's time to stop. It's time to meditate and listen to what the Ruach of Elohim has to say. If we are praying in true faith, our prayers will be answered. And I'm not saying that they are always answered the way we want, because our wants can get in the way of our needs. Yah knows what is best for each and every one of us. We either have faith to trust him or keep on making the same mistakes over and over again until we pass the test. Because he'll just give you the test again if you haven't passed it the first time. You can never fail Yah's school, because fail is just a further attempt in learning. So you get the test to learn a bit more, and the test to learn a bit more, and the test to learn a bit more. You will eventually pass once you've had the same test a few times. It starts to get in. So Yah will keep on giving you that same test until it is passed. And I'm sure that you have seen many people who keep on making the same mistakes in their lives, time after time after time. At some stage, they will either pass it or turn their back on Elohim completely. Everything in our walk has to be a balance of stepping out in faith when we listen to the voice of Yah. The leadership of Beit Gan Eden have been praying for a better venue for over 2 years. We believed that they were going to open up the auditorium back there, which is a theatre type room, that it would be opened up and we could move into that. It never happened. But we didn't stop praying. And then the new venue came purely and simply because it was offered to us. We didn't go looking for it. It was offered. And it was offered at an unreasonably low price. Even though it's higher than what we pay here, and we're going to step out in faith that we have the tithes to cover what we will be needing to run at that facility, I believe it is answered prayer. We cannot step out in faith into a new venue without our trust in Yah. But when Yah says move, when the cloud gets lifted and we have to go, we have to move. Because we're never going to grow any bigger in this room. The children are outside at the moment. Usually we've got another 6 or 7 children and another 3 or 4 families here with children. Where are we going to fit them? The children end up sitting on the floor. We don't have enough room. People like to be able to sit down with a bag beside them. They need to spread out. They don't need to be stuffed together. It's not comfortable. The air conditioning's cold in the middle of summer. We freeze to death. We need to bring jumpers. You know, Yah has organised this new place for a reason. And I believe that we all need to step up. When we move, we will change things. It's an opportunity to grow, not just physically, as in numbers, but spiritually as people. It's a time to step out in faith. It's a time to trust Yah. That's all I'm saying for now, because we're going to visit it and let you get the message. I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen photos, just like you. I've never been to the venue. But I believe our prayers were answered. And so we need, when, and all our prayers are answered when we least expect it. So this afternoon, we'll have just a short schmooze time. It's now 22:12. I'd like to have remembrance service finished by midday, so that we can have a schmooze time for half an hour and then get ready to go. I've got 4 minutes. Oh goodness, is it? Oh, I can't read, I tell you. We've got 4 minutes. I saw the second hand going. It's terrible when you can't see, believe you me. Because these glasses aren't made for close-up, they're made for out here somewhere. And so I don't have a pair of glasses that I can read with at the moment. So let us go back to our remembrance service and move on. Praise Yah, my husband tells me what to do. And I listen to him as well. Sometimes. Truthful? Not all the time. Okay. Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand on and brought them out to the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Savot is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Savot, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Borei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, Borei Mini Besamim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
It's now time to come and take the cup, to take a piece of challah. Add salt, because you are the salt of the earth. And as you come, if you wouldn't, please add to the congregation and to our ministry by putting in your tithes and offerings into the blue box. And we're going to be counting on these to be able to pay for this new venue. So if you would, you know, wouldn't mind making an offering, just a small offering each week would be better than no offering. And there's also the FPOS machine there. I don't know how to use it, but I think you just press a button or two, or some will be someone there that can help you with it. I don't know. but we'll...
Not too many noughts.
not too many noughts. So please come, take some challah, smell the spices, and we'll eat and drink together. Don't sit there. Come, we've got to move.
tenderness he sought me, weary, weak from sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. While angels in his presence sang, until the courts of heaven rang, and all the love that sought me, and all the blood that bought me, and all the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home. He washed the bleeding sin wounds, he poured in oil and wine, he whispered to assure me, child, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice, it made my aching heart rejoice. And all the blood it bought me, and all the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home. He pointed to the nail prints, for me his blood was shed, a mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. And all the love that sought me, and all the blood that bought me, and all the grace that brought me the fold, wondrous grace that brought me home. I'm sitting in his presence, the sunshine of his face, while with adoring wonder his blessings I retrace. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sing his praise. Wondrous grace that brought me home. So while the hours are passing by and all is perfect rest, I'm waiting for the morning, the brightest and the best, when he will call us to his side.
Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that you sent your Can I have some mic, please? You right? Yep, we're right now. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that you sent your son Yeshua to lay down his life on the stake for us. Abba, without him in our lives, we have nothing. Without him in his life, and our lives, and his laying down of his, we would not have the Ruach HaKodesh within us to hear your small, still voice. And Abba, we thank you and praise you that not only do we hear, but we obey. And Abba, we just give you the glory for everything you have done in each and every one of our lives and in Beit Ganen as a community. And we take these emblems now in remembrance of what Yeshua has done for us. And we pray this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Let's eat and drink together. Hebrew, and I will repeat it in English.
Yevareka ka, Yehovah Yishmareka, Ye'e Yehovah Panavaleka, Ve'ekuneka, Yisa Yehovah Panavaleka, Ve'asamleka, Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the besameen, we pray that the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we have a very short turnaround time. It's 15:15 and we have to leave here with everything packed up by 22. So if I could get everyone to give us a hand packing everything up, that would be really great. And we'll just have schmooze time as we go. Okay?
I'm sure you've got time for it. It's about a 10-minute drive. And we gain access at 1 o'clock, so that should be fine. Actually, no, it's
close
to a 13-minute drive here. So a quarter of an hour, we should. That's all good. George,
I see your love. I hope you coped. Sorry. Hope you coped with the service. Sing it so, holy Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem. Old New Jerusalem.
down.